Things?
Things are good. It's a beautiful day in Cheyenne. The ice is melting. What the heck? What more do you want? Nice slight breeze. Everybody's talking about how windy it is everywhere else. We just have a slight breeze. So
slight breeze, 30 miles an hour, just slight. Compared to what it was this weekend, this is slight.
Yeah. Hey, Wyoming in January, this is a slight breeze.
Exactly.
And 50 degrees, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Like one of the people from Roots said the other day, I called them when they were in Laramie, I said, I was on my way over, they said, yeah, it's really windy. I go, we don't talk about the wind this time of year. We talk about days when it's calm. You know yeah. It's going to be windy.
Yeah.
Definitely. Jeez. So. Tracy, we had the pleasure to talk to Tom Murphy last week on the show. He was part of that caravan that went to Laramie. Really good guy. We enjoyed talking to him on what was that, Monty? Tuesday? No, Wednesday.
Wednesday
before the UNLV game. Yeah, really good guy. I was impressed with him.
No, I think so. I think he's got a good sense about him. He's got some good power, and he's done a really good job of developing his catching skills. It's going to be fun to watch him get the opportunity. You know, some people have talked about bringing in veteran guys, but you know, mediocre veteran guys, why not give the young kid a chance to step forward? He came on really big in the second half at Albuquerque last year. So
yeah.
I mean, he's ready. He's earned his opportunity, and you've got to give him a chance to play at some point.
Do you see him as the starter, or were he and Walters split time, or how do you see that working out?
I would imagine he might get 5 out of 7.
Mm-hmm.
You know, imagine Walters will play some more, but I mean, this is a guy who's a catcher, and he's got offensive power, and he's got that ability, and so I think you'll see him go ahead and assume the bulk of it. Walters is done a nice job, and he's coming along, and both of them, I think that the nice part is because of the young pitchers that are coming out of the system. Neither one's going to really have to do much of a learning curve as far as trying to understand pitch selection and stuff. They're both familiar with the guys that are going to be here pitching. So, but I think that's a bonus too.
He said something really interesting. We talked about how potent the Rockies lineup could be, and I think we all agree that that's the case. He said, "We're going to be riding our young pitching staff and our young starting pitching." I thought that was really interesting. He seems to really be wanting to push, and I don't know if that's something that came from whatever, if he believes that, but really pushing the Rockies' young starters.
Well, I mean, the Rockies have had good hitters for a long time, and the success or failure of this team is going to be how the young starters emerge and take charge, and if they build off of what they did last year. You know, it's never been a question of whether or not the Rockies were going to score runs. It was whether they could outscore the other team, and I think we saw a mix in the rotation last year of guys that are capable of going out and keeping them in ball games and pitching well and not being intimidated by Coors Field. And I think this offseason, the Rockies have tried to bring in a few veteran guys to help in the later innings where things are a little different. And, you know, you got Ottavino, who should be fully healthy after being back half a season from the Tommy John surgery. McGee should be better because of his knee, but you've also added Dunn in there, and then they just signed Holland. Mm-hmm. And I have full confidence in Holland because I don't think he would lie to Steve Foster. I remember when early in the winter I said to Foster, I go, would you have interest in Holland? He goes, he's my son. Why wouldn't I have interest in my son? That's the type of relationship they have from being in Kansas City together. So I think that they have a pretty good insight into just where Holland is, and you know, whether he pitches the eighth or the ninth, it helps to have a little bit of that pressure off of Ottavino.
I wanted to bring that up a little bit. Where do you see Holland fitting in with this? Because when he was in Kansas City, but before he had the arm issues, he was dominant. I mean, we talked about the Kansas City bullpen, you know, being the reason why, a big reason why they were world champions. Where does he fit in your opinion, to the Rockies bullpen?
Well, you know, guys come back from the Tommy John surgery. They seem to throw just as hard, if not harder. I think it's going to be a work-your-way-into-it situation because he missed all of last year. And, you know, I know he's been on a program in the winter, and we'll see how he does during the spring. But, you know, I would not be surprised at all if he gets the 27th out more often than not. You know, he's been through that battle. He's been through that war. And we'll just see where Ottavino is, if Ottavino can get the consistency he needs to have to be able to handle it. But I think this team's going in this year very much with the idea that they're going to be a factor in the National League West. That, you know, they're not hoping to finish 500. They're hoping to finish their season up sometime in October.
I mean, let's assume the best for both of those pitchers. You got one pitching the eighth, one pitching the ninth. I mean, that's pretty formidable right there, isn't it?
Well, and I think the other thing that helps with that is you get two left-handers that are capable of getting guys out, too, with McGee and with Dunn. So now all of a sudden you have a pretty good mix for the whole for the final three innings of how you want to use guys, how you want to spot them. So, no, yeah, I think that it gets away from trying to put young kids into too much of a stress situation. I think that the back end of the bullpen is the most important place to have some guys with some experience. And now they have that. And now you can bring in Estevez along or Marquez along and see how they develop too. But they don't have to go in under fire.
Tracy Ringlesby joining us here on the program. I found the punishment for the St. Louis Cardinals today on that hacking with the Astros very interesting, where they have to forfeit their picks, top two picks, and give $2 million to Houston. So the picks are going to Houston, plus the money going to Houston. Is this something that we could see more in terms of punishments for these types of crimes, I guess, in baseball, where you're having to give up your picks to another team and pay them as well?
Well, it's a precedent, and
yeah,
you know, they were dealing with a situation where you were stealing scouting information. So I think the fine reflects a direct tie to the area in which the Cardinals got into the Astros system. So, you know, I don't think it necessarily means that you're going to see draft choices for any type of an infraction, but this type of a thing where you got to the computer hacking. Yeah, I think it is. I think to the Cardinals, the biggest thing of the situation, I don't think the other things are going to make a whole world of difference, but the embarrassment of the situation. You know, it's always funny, too, because, you know, when a guy leaves an organization to go somewhere else, particularly like Lunau to be general manager, you wonder how much of the Cardinals stuff he took with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, but that's, you know, that's part of the game. I mean, you know that when you hire a guy and the team, and he's going to take a certain amount of institutional knowledge with him when he leaves. But you know, that's not the same as hacking into somebody's information system. I mean, that's not the right way to do it. There's no other way to talk about it.
I kind of like the punishment, though. I think we need to see more punishments of that, like Tom Brady for deflating footballs or something like that. And, you know, it happened against the Colts, giving them their first and fourth round pick as opposed to just giving up your first and fourth round pick. I think that's an interesting way to punish teams and maybe change the way that you'll do things.
Well, hopefully something as silly as this doesn't happen again. But,
right.
You know, there were a lot of hard feelings within the organization towards Lunau when he left and the people that he took with him long before they left. So it doesn't totally surprise me that somebody in the organization would want to be able to say, see what I was able to do to you. It's just across the line. You know, they got past where they're supposed to be. And whether you like somebody or not, there's still a value system you need to have.
I want to go back to the Rockies for a second. How do you feel Jeff Breidich is doing as the GM? It's been a year for the Rockies. Do you like the way he seems to be running things in the direction that they seem to be heading?
I think he's growing in the job. You know, I think he had a much better offseason this year than he did a year ago. I think he's moving forward. He's getting more comfortable with what he's doing. He's always been a guy that's very careful and very studious of the situation. He's not necessarily the outgoing, laughable, jolly guy that probably the media wants, but I think he's got a pretty good grasp of what he's trying to get done and a pretty good ability to focus on and not get distracted by things that happen around him. So yeah, I like him. I think he's got a chance to be very good. And you know, we'll just have to see now what the players do that they brought in this year.
All right, Tracy. You know, talking a little Cowboy hoops, it was a tough one against Boise State, man. The shooting was the last three halves of basketball, Allen Edwards has not been pleased with, and he talks about energy and edge and all that sort of thing. They didn't have it in the second half against Vegas and really didn't have it against Boise State, and, you know, really didn't even threaten in that second half. Usually teams make runs, and I thought they'd make a run in that second half, and they just didn't. They couldn't hit anything. It was tough on Saturday.
Ugly.
There's, Yeah, it was. There's really not much nice you can say about it.
No.
You know, the only bright point would be if Jason can relax a little bit now. Because we kept, you know, we talked before about the fact that we just felt that he was putting so much pressure on himself that he was just dying in quicksand. And, you know, if hitting those three-pointers late in the game got him to feel comfortable again, then maybe it would all be worth it. But there's not much else you could take out of that game and try to spin something positive. It was a bad effort. I mean, that's just about as simple as you can put it. I don't think there's anything other than the three three-pointers that McManaman made that you can even try to make as an upbeat moment of that game.
Which is weird because the crowd, I thought, was really good. Just waiting to get into it, and it was a big game, and to come out as flat as they seemed to come out and with no energy seemed really, really strange to me.
Yeah, I mean, that crowd wanted to cheer for something. I mean, Dave even had his Letterman sweater on.
He was swinging his cane around and everything.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah.
He was fired up.
I'm armed and dangerous now.
You're dangerous, all right.
You're dangerous, we know that.
All right, hey, Tracy, thanks so much for the time. We will talk next week. Thanks again.
All right, guys, see ya.
See ya. All right, bye.